Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening. You are tuned in to Tando Radio Show. This is Scotty Reed sitting in for Dave from L.A. for today's broadcast on this Wednesday, which is April the 4th, 2018. It is a Wednesday, therefore it is Wise Wednesday, and we will be joined later on in the broadcast by Brother Davis. I hope that you all are having a productive day, that my voice finds you safe and sound behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. Again, today is Wise Wednesday, and the topic Brother Davis has sent us is opening up for greatness. Of course, to begin the program, we always share some of the current news and events which are posted for you at btrcommunity.com, which is a social media community that's a little over a year old. This year will be our second year anniversary. We set it up because of people said we need our own network. We need our own social media network because of the things that we are seeing playing out in the headlines right now. Now, this wasn't one of the stories that Dave and some of the other people on BTR Community posted, like Ross Thomas and others, but I did see this headline and it's kind of relevant. So Facebook is now claiming that they have shared, and they're claiming that, you know, these people got access to this information without their permission. But that's not true. As someone who has access to the back door of Facebook's app developer platform, they give you permission to create these apps. Now, in these apps, you are supposed to ask for permission, but if you use these apps, then you're implying, it's implied that you're giving them permission to collect data on you. You know, yes, we want people to explicitly state that they're using our data, but that should go without saying. But according to the Washington Post, which I don't really like because of its political biasness, but this particular story, it is what it is. It says Facebook said the personal data of most of its 2 billion users has been collected and shared with outsiders. So, of course, they're following up on that Cambridge Analytica story where they're saying these people created a personality app. People took the little survey, asking them personality questions, and I guess it was going to label them with some kind of personality label or disorder. But the person who developed that app, the professor who developed that app, then allegedly shared that information with Cambridge Analytica. They are not the ones who created the app. They just got access to the data that the app, which was created by this professor, they got access to that data. Now, I don't believe for 1 minute that they spent, it would take a tremendous amount of money to create personalized ads to target people based on their personality. That is just impossible to do. Okay. The way that you target people with ads on Facebook is by their interests, because, you know, Facebook's asks you these questions about what your interests are, where you work at, where you live at, what's your name. Then you connect with people that you know, some people you don't know. And it just creates this web, this spider web of information. And the only way that you can target people is by what they share with you. Now, nobody is going to create personalized ads to target you as an individual. So I just don't believe that part of the story. But the part of the story that is believable and I know to be a fact is that these developers can access your information when you use the different apps that they create using the Facebook developer platform. And what they do with that information, well, it's up to that individual or that company that creates the app. But again, nobody's creating these apps without the permission of Facebook. Now, you may not supposed to share it with third parties and whatnot, but again, how they gonna know? How will they know unless somebody tell? You don't know. And so that is one of the reasons why we created btrcommunity.com. We don't show you any ads on that platform. There's no Google ads. There's no now I could turn on a feature where to show you ads, but I'm not turning it on to show you ads because, you know, that's one of the things people get tired of, and they employ ad blockers. So I'm like, this is going to be an ad free experience. Now, the resources do cost money. So the way that we enable us to be able to pay for those resources is by charging you a $24 a year fee. That's $24 a year. And right now we have a 30-day free trial if you want to use it. We don't even have 1,000 members yet. Hopefully we will get there. I would like to see us this year at least obtain 5,000 members, but I'm not aggressively marketing BTR community outside of Black Talk Radio Network. I'm not really, you know, paying anybody else, paying Google, paying Facebook, paying Twitter to promote this to you. All of our reach is pretty much organic. Does the Black Talk Media Project, which is a North Carolina-based nonprofit, pay for ads or pay to promote posts? Yes, we do. We have. But usually that's surrounding the issue of slavery, or we are reaching out to people in the African diaspora as well as the continent of Africa in English-speaking countries where they speak English. We promote the radio station. So we have used that. But in terms of marketing the social media platform by that way, no, I'm not going to do that. We don't have the resources to do that anyway. Okay, so now it's coming out that Facebook is you know, they're saying that 2 billion of its users likely, now take that word with a grain of salt for what it means. It means we're not sure, but it's likely that 2 billion users have had their public profiles scraped by outsiders without the user's explicit permission, dramatically raising the stakes in a privacy controversy that has dogged the company for weeks and spurred investigation in the United States and Europe and sent the company's stock price tumbling. So again, Dave has said this before, nothing in this world is really free. You know, it's costing somebody something. All right. So these 2 billion people, they know, at least I knew, you know, I've been using social media platforms going back to the days of Black Planet, which is still in existence, and MySpace as well. We know that when you run these advertiser based models, that's how you plan to generate revenue. Then they have to show these companies, you know, that they have X amount of users. And some go even further, like Facebook, and requiring you to use your real name, make sure you're a real person and not setting up a fake profile so that they can show potential advertisers, hey, these are real users. You know, these aren't multiple accounts on the same platform and what have you. So again, anybody who did not know that going in was being a bit naive, or they just really don't know how that business model works. So again, you know, we have btrcommunity.com, $24 a year. Once we get more revenue from that source, then we'll turn on some of the other features, like you being able to share, upload video. You can import video, but you just can't upload it directly from your phone or from your computer. I haven't turned that feature on because, again, that costs money. We have to use resources and what have you to employ that. But we could certainly add more bells and whistles that people like on Facebook. But at the same time, I don't want to add a bunch of bells and whistles. I don't want to open up the platform to where we could have developers coming in and creating the apps that, you know, to play these little games that you play on Facebook and what have you. We're just not into that. We're into sharing information, exchanging information, and having conversations on that information that has been shared. Also, before we get started, let me quickly pull up Dave's email address for those who are interested in acquiring precious metals. The website is prosperitymint.com. That's prosperitymint.com, which actually sponsored a contest that we had to raise money for our trip to Washington, D.C. for the New Abolitionist Movement. And they were generous enough, you know, of course, Dave was the primary person involved in that. And I think it was a gold coin, or it might have been a silver coin from Prosperity Mint. And we raffled that off for those who donated. So definitely appreciate that. But those who are interested in acquiring precious metals, you can go to prosperitymint.com. But before you make any purchases, please contact Dave first at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. That email address is wolf, W-O-L-F, the number 6, pack, P-A-C-K, and the number 1@gmail.com. One more time, that's wolf6pack1@gmail.com. If you're interested, as Dave says, in acquiring real money, that's your precious metals like your gold and your silver coins, you definitely can get at Dave and he can help facilitate that for you. Okay, so let's get into some of the news of the day. Before we bring on Brother Davis, there's quite a bit of stories. I'm not going to try to share all the stories. I don't want to take away too much time from Brother Davis sharing his information for his show with you. Again, he will be talking about opening up for greatness. All right, so let me pull up a couple of these stories. Again, Dave posts all his stories in Tando Radio show. You can find his profile in btrcommunity.com. For each show, he creates a thread which has all the news stories that he would like to share. So I'll go through a couple of these, but the main thing that I want to share with you is, for those that don't know, on this day in history, Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was assassinated. The official cover story is that he was assassinated by this white racist terrorist all by himself. But what a lot of people don't know is that the King family had filed a lawsuit. And in this lawsuit, which they filed, it came out that the federal government was involved in that, played a role in that. How much of a role, I can't cite off the top of my head. It's been a while since I read up on that. But it is no secret that the FBI was running COINTELPRO, where they were spying on, you know, they're talking about spies today, Russian spies and all of that, in the UK. But the United States government was spying on people like Dr. King, Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, all the members of the Black Panther Party. They actually infiltrated the Black Panther Party to the point that they even the FBI agents started a chapter of the Black Panther Party. I mean, that's how deep they was. And then also you had COINTELPRO agents inside of the Nation of Islam as well. Let me pull up this one story. This is from another website. Again, I don't like the Washington Post, and it's already blocking me. They want me to pay to be able to keep reading their website. They only allow you to view so many stories. So again, nothing is for free. You know, it's costing somebody something. So I ain't mad at them for charging people to access their articles. I'm just not going to pay them for their articles because I don't consider them a credible source. So sorry, Dave, I cannot pull that up at this time, and it's not showing me a preview in Tando Radio Show, but it has something to do with national security. Rod shared an article from The Guardian. It says U.S. and China playing a gigantic game of chicken. Now, I did see an article this morning where China has slapped tariffs in response to the Trump administration slapping tariffs on Chinese steel, as well as a couple of other products. It wasn't that many. It was only three or four. But China has responded in kind by slapping over 100 different tariffs on products coming out the United States. And I was like, really? The United States is making that many products? Because, you know, they usually manufacture everything overseas to begin with, and in China, most of these U.S. corporations. So, I mean, this thing is so ridiculous to me. But as I stated before, the consumer is going to be the one who suffers the most from this. And I think China has the upper hand. Like Dave correctly stated the other day, China has the largest economy in the world, you know. And so we see the moves that they're making in Africa and in expanding their market and acquiring resources. Lots of African countries are partnering with China. I keep reading these stories every day. So the U.S. and China is playing a gigantic game of chicken. That was an article written by Larry Flint, and it was published in The Guardian. And so you can check that out again by going to btrcommunity.com and look for the David W. Tando Radio Show thread. The U.S. military, here's another article. And I mean, this is like, to me, it's becoming a pattern. It's a pattern with the U.S. government. You have Business Insider who has published an article that says the United States military can't confirm where $3.1 billion in funding for Afghanistan went. All right, let me state that again. Not $3.1 million, $3.1 billion in funding for Afghanistan went missing. A recently released Department of Defense Inspector General report found that DOD officials could not guarantee that $3.1 billion went towards intended purposes. The money was supposed to be spent on vehicles, supplies like fuel and ammunition, and training for the Afghan security forces. Now, But some of that money, which they're not mentioning, they may mention it in the full article, is some of that money goes towards paying those Afghani farmers for their opium. You can look this up. Don't take, as I state, or I should state, and I've stated it in the past, don't believe nothing I tell you. Don't believe anything anyone tells you. Don't have blind faith in me that I'm telling you the truth or I even know what I'm talking about, okay? You verify for yourself, okay? That's what responsible people do, is they look for more than one source. They don't believe everything they hear. But it is well known that the not only has the U.S. military been guarding those poppy fields to prevent the Taliban from burning them up, and allowing these Afghan farmers to grow this poppy because they say that's their only means of income. Hell, that sounds like some of our poor people on the streets selling weed or selling anything else. You know, now, some people call that a crime, but as long as there are no children involved, if you want to shoot up heroin, you are not harming me. You're harming yourself. That is not a crime against me. That's a crime against you. If you want to shoot up heroin, if you want to smoke crack, if you want to do ecstasy, pick a drug. If you want to drink alcohol to in excessive amounts, you're not hurting me. You're not committing a crime against me. So I don't buy into the drug wars being a crime against the state. And, you know, they say that the people are the state. Well, I'm not part of that state. I'm not in control, because if I had my way, there would be no drug war. There would be no drug prohibition. What I would be doing is promoting education and educating people on why they shouldn't do this, that, or the other. But I would never intrude upon their personal freedom and their personal liberty to consume whatever it is they want to consume. Okay? So the United States, though, has been paying these Afghani farmers because they're saying that they're trying to keep it off the street, that if they sell it to their usual channels, then it's going to end up on the street. Well, I don't know about that, but all of this heroin, which is made from poppy, is coming from somewhere. All right, I'm not talking about the synthetic, you know, opioids that's coming from the pharmaceutical companies, which have flooded the American streets with millions and millions and millions of pills. I saw an article about that yesterday, or I shared an article about that yesterday. All right, but most of this heroin is coming from Afghanistan. So they have failed in paying these Afghan farmers for this heroin. You know, and I never saw anything where they said, well, they take the heroin and they destroy it. All one has to do is remember the reporting of Gary Webb and the CIA crack cocaine connection with these South American, you know, cocoa farmers in order to raise money for their illegal off-the-books operations of assassination and overthrowing governments and stuff. You know, they got to have that money from somewhere, and they don't want to document their crimes, so they're not going to ask Congress for money. That's how they raise their money. But also, they rob us. They rob you, the taxpayer. If you're paying taxes, I don't care if you recognize yourself as a citizen of the United States or not. You are paying taxes, and therefore you are funding this system, and therefore any of that money that is being used other than for, let's say, public works and you know, like your libraries, your roads, and your schools, and things of that nature, your infrastructure, then they're robbing you. And so the U.S. military can't even tell us where $3.1 billion has went. Now, that's a paltry amount concerning when we look back when Cynthia McKinney, Dr. Cynthia McKinney, who used to be in Congress, when she was in Congress, and it was revealed through some of her work that they lost $1 trillion. The Pentagon couldn't account for $1 trillion. Where's all this money going, people? You got to ask yourself. you got to ask yourself, where is it going? Some of it's going to these black ops that the United States government is running, that they got to fund so they can bribe those terrorists in Libya to help them overthrow the Libyan government so that they can, you know, bribe whoever in whatever country that they're trying to gain favor and influence in. Please look up the confessions of a U.S. economic hitman. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, or I'm saying that title correctly. But yeah, so now we're finding out $3.1 billion in funding for Afghanistan is missing, and it was supposed to go on equipment for the troops, and hell, it's not. It's not. And again, you know, I spent 6 years in the military. When I first went in, you know, I had a combat communications MOS, but my first duty station, I was attached to a aviation unit, you know, with attack helicopters and Hueys and all of that, because every unit has to have a communications specialist. But they didn't even have a communications department set up until I got there. But when I first got there, they had me working in supply. And what you heard about, like, you take a nut that you can go to a hardware store, or a screw you can go to a hardware store and get for a nickel, the U.S. military is going to pay $5 for it, you know, to these military contractors and what, these privatized contractors that supply the U.S. military with that type of hardware and what have you. So it's just really no telling where all this money, but we're being robbed blind, people. You know, we had these people that say we ain't got no money to pay for free college tuition to state universities, you know, public universities and colleges, you know, but we got all this money to just throw away in the name of national security, and it's a bunch of junk, because I surely don't feel secure in this country. Ask those people in Austin if they feel secure after they got bombed, you know, for about a week or two and what have you. So this is just no surprise to me. I don't know what it's going to take for people to rise up in rebellion, because, you know, I don't believe that there is any amount of reform that you can do to this system that is going to stop these abuses. I think we're going to have to start over from scratch. Another article from Business Insider. Again, this is going back to the China trade war. Let me pull this article up. This businessinsider.com article talks about the advantages China has in this trade war that Donald Trump seems intent on starting with China. Who will win a trade war between the U.S. and China? The U.S. has a more stable economy, but China has some advantages too. Now, the stability of the Chinese economy, I cannot tell you. All right, so I don't have a comment on that. Do I trust these people to know what they're talking about? No, I don't, because I know all of the anti-China, anti-Russia, anti-everything, you know, that comes out of the U.S. media. It says the U.S. has a more stable economy, but China has some advantages too. When you're about to inflict pain on your own people, authoritarianism has its benefits. See, right then and there, I'm stopping. Okay, that's pure propaganda. That's pure propaganda. So, you can read the rest of that article if you choose by going to btrcommunity.com. And Dave has been sharing this particular story about China to pay for its oil imports. And I think China may be the largest oil importer in the world. They may be the largest energy consumer in the world. Why they're making moves in Africa right now, which has a majority of the world's resources. But it says China is going to start paying for its oil imports with the yuan in a major blow to the dollar. So, you know, if you don't know what the petrodollar is, that's why the United States told those lies about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction to then get you and other people to get behind a war, you know, with a bunch of fear mongering and say, hey, you know, if we don't do something, if we don't invade Iraq, we may see mushroom clouds, you know, over LA or something like that. But it was because of the petrodollar. Saddam Hussein had said he was going to stop, you know, selling his oil, stop accepting U.S. dollars to sell his oil. He said he was only taking the euros. And as the opening music suggests, to Tando Radio Show, the theme music, it talks about Gaddafi was working towards putting Africa on a united gold backed currency. Hence the reason, you know, they attacked Gaddafi for other reasons as well in terms of the United States, because they also wanted to arm those terrorists in Syria with those Libyan weapons, since the people of the United States said, no, we're not interested in attacking Assad. We're not interested in paying for these Islamists to be armed so they could overthrow their secular government and what have you. So that was a backdoor way for them to provide arms to those terrorists that are all but defeated in Syria right now, contrary to some headlines you may see that's saying that, oh, if we leave Syria now, it's going to be ISIS 3.0. Don't believe that BS, okay? You have to trust. You cannot trust any of these outlets. Again, you have to do your own research. And now that's in direct contradiction with all these reports that we're getting that ISIS is all but defeated in Iraq and Syria. And no thanks to the United States government, but thanks to the Russians, thanks to the Iranians, thanks to the Lebanese, Hezbollah, other Lebanese, which have been fighting against these Islamic terrorists in Syria. So, you know, don't believe the hype, you know, because Donald Trump said that he was thinking about withdrawing U.S. troops and bringing them home, which would be the right move. It's something that I would support. But now he's getting pushback from the deep state, as people have taken to saying, the profiteers of war, the profiteers of death and destruction, who profit from all of these wars. All right, another article before I get into, because a lot of these articles are about China and Russia, which is very important for people to pay attention. And the last thing I'll share about that, it's not posted here, but I posted it in BTR community as well as on blacktalkradionetwork.com. But you have scientists at the agency that was tasked with finding out what substance was used to poison this former Soviet spy who hadn't been active in over 10 years. Well, actually longer than that, if you count the time he was in a Soviet jail or in a Russian jail. And so this guy had no intelligence value whatsoever. This was a false flag. And Theresa May, who is the prime minister of the UK, the very next day, it was just like on 9/11. If y'all remember when 9/11 went down, you was watching it on TV. And if I'm not mistaken, I'll just play it safe. And I'll say in less than 48 hours, they had the pictures of the alleged attackers on your television screen. All right, mostly Saudi nationals and whatnot. And then some of the stories I was reading was so unbelievable, saying they found the driver's license of one of those hijackers in the rubble. This was coming from mainstream media. So again, do not trust these people. Do your own research, okay? You want to verify everything. Believe nothing. Look for more than one source. Then maybe you can believe it, all right? But if it's only one source or it's coming from one source, and I consider all the mainstream media one source, even though they pretend to be, you know, on different sides, they're still part of the same system and they promote the system. But this agency said that they don't know where this came from. Now, Theresa May came right out and said, oh, the Russians did it. This is only made by the Russians. It's military grade. Now, if that was military grade nerve agent, then the two victims would not be recovering in the hospital right now. They would be dead. So it's not military grade. I was reading this ridiculous article from CNN where they said, you know, it showed a sophisticated means of deployment that only could have came from Putin. Now, what was that sophisticated means allegedly? spraying the chemical on the doorknob. Really, that's sophisticated? Come on, man. Give me, I'm telling y'all people, you have to learn to use logical thinking, critical thinking, and if that don't make any sense. Now, another question I had was, you got CCTV, you know, all over the UK. They got these CCTV cameras. Have y'all seen any video of any suspicious vehicles in the area? Did y'all see anybody getting out of a van in full mop gear? Y'all don't know what mop gear is, do you? Mop gear is where you wear this charcoal lined suit. You know, you can go to the surplus store and buy these now, but they are U.S. Army issued. And, you know, I'm just using the Army as an example. They may not call it that in other countries, but mop gear protects you from chemical weapons. It has a charcoal lining in it, and then you got the gas mask on. Now, have y'all seen any CCTV footage of anybody getting out of a van with a spray bottle in their hand in full mop gear walking up to the door to spray some chemical nerve agent on the doorknob? Oh my God, man, people will believe anything. And I blame that on the miseducation system. A lot of us, we are not taught to critically think. We've been lied to constantly. We have blind faith and trust in these media outlets. We have blind faith and trust in the U.S. government. And I don't trust anybody outside my mother. My children, possibly. I don't know. I got to think about that one. But I don't think my daughters would turn me in for anything, you know, unless I murdered somebody that they love. They might turn me in, but I don't trust anyone. Okay. And that's just the way it's got to be for me. I don't trust anyone. I'm suspicious of everybody. Okay. That doesn't mean that I'm going to isolate myself, but I'm just not going to trust you. All right. So anyway, let me move on. So that was the last story I wanted to share about that. Now, the last thing I want to share, last couple of stories I want to share, and then we will turn it over to Brother Davis for Wise Wednesday, is I have been thoroughly disgusted ever since they had that March for Our Lives. Okay. Ever since they had that March for Our Lives and I saw John Lewis out there, you know, fronting for the system and, you know, marching against gun rights and all that kind of stuff. Talking about we need gun control and all of that type of stuff. And this man has voted for legislation to arm the police. You know, he went from getting beat in the head with a police baton to putting military, to voting to arm police with military grade weaponry. All right, tell me if that ain't no damn sellout. The man has voted for every war that the U.S. government has wanted to get into, or, you know, they haven't had a real war since World War II, but every military conflict that they wanted to engage in attacking the sovereignty of other countries, John Lewis has voted for that. And he is a stain on the legacy of Dr. King. He need to stop riding Dr. King's coattails, okay? The only thing that man known for is getting concussions from police batons. I really dislike him, okay, because of what he turned out to be, an agent of the state, all right, and for corporations. But I've been seeing a lot of distortion of Dr. King's legacy. Now, I'm going to share these two articles with you. Now, this first article, I was listening to a little bit of sports talk radio to distract me from politics and some other serious stuff that was on my mind. You know, I'll turn it on for an hour or so and listen while I work. So that's how I found out about this article. I was listening to Stephen A. Smith on ESPN radio today. And so he shared parts of this article that was in the New York Daily News. And I'm trying to let this article load up. Again, a lot of these websites, they hit you off with so many ads that it can lock up your browser. So y'all bear with me as I let this article load up. The title of the article, the 50th anniversary of MLK's assassination. Remember him for who he was and not as a prop to support flawed agendas. And that's all I've been saying on Twitter. Why don't y'all stop acting like Dr. King was so against the gun? I asked my mother, who was born when was my mother born? Okay, her oldest brother was born in 1948. So my mom was born, I think, in 19... I know it was in the 50s. I'm not sure. Wait a minute. Okay, 66. She might have been born in 48. Yeah, my mom might have been born in 48. So she was a teenager when Dr. King was around. So I asked her, do you ever recall Dr. King and them talking about this anti-gun legislation? Was that what they were proposing to confront terrorism and what have you? And my mom was like, I don't ever recall Dr. King ever talking about some gun control or as they say, being anti-Second Amendment, you know, because she grew up in a house full of guns. All right. My grandfather had a house full of guns. It's the one of the first things I noticed when we moved back from Detroit back here to our homeland here in North Carolina. So I was in agreement with this guy until he started portraying Dr. King as some anti-gun activist. All right. So a lot of people are mistaken his tactic of nonviolent protest for a nonviolent philosophy in living. Do you actually think that Dr. King would allow himself to be defenseless, would allow his family to be defenseless in the face of all the death threats that he was getting from these terrorists? He was no idiot. He was no fool, and he had a house full of guns. Not only did he have a house full of guns, but he had volunteers who were armed guards and were standing guard at his house with guns. They didn't have slingshots. They didn't have pea shooters. Okay? They had guns. That's how they were protecting the King family. All right? And so, you know, but he does make some good points in his article, but I'm not going to get all into it. He talks about the radical side of Dr. King and you know, how he stood up against racism. And he talked about the speech that he gave in one of the last speech that he gave, which was not the I Have a Dream speech, which is thought to be his most popular speech. But you know, this guy cites the open letter that Dr. King wrote called A Letter from a Birmingham Jail. So I'm going to share that with you. I didn't think to pull up the audio and share that with you, but I'll just read it briefly. First, I must confess that over the past few years, I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have also reached a regrettable conclusion that the Negro's greatest stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the White Citizens Council or the Ku Klux Klaner, but the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than to justice. Now, when I read that, you know who I thought about? I ain't think about white people. I thought about Barack Obama, who after George Zimmerman was wrongfully acquitted. Yes, I said wrongfully acquitted. And people were outraged at that decision. What was the first thing Barack Obama said? We are a nation of law and order. The jury has spoken. He sounded like these white moderates that Dr. King was talking about during his day. You know, it wasn't about justice. It was about law and order. Law and order and justice are not the same thing. So let me go on. But the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you see, but I cannot agree with your methods of direct action. Now, you think about that. Now, Dr. King knew that black folks, even though we had plenty of weapons, we're not organized in a force that we could start and win another civil war. Okay? He knew that. So you think about what they're saying. Here this man is who is leading nonviolent marches, who are engaging in acts of civil disobedience, meaning that, hey, we're not going to pay attention to your racist laws. We're going to sit down where we want to sit down on this bus. Hey, if you're not going to pay these workers the same amount that you pay white workers, if you're not going to provide them with the same compensation, the same benefit packages, then we're going to strike. We're going to tell people not to use your stuff, not to shop at your store, not to pay you or patronize your business. Okay? So to think that some white moderate was saying, oh, we agree with your goal, but we don't agree with your methods. Okay, see, this is what Malcolm X was saying when he went down there to Selma, and he said, I ain't come down here to dispute, and I'm paraphrasing, I didn't come down here to dispute anything Dr. King is saying. I'm here to say that if y'all don't give him what he's asking for, which is right and just, then you got to deal with folks like me who will shoot you in the face and when you're trying to commit these acts of terrorism against us. All right. So, yeah, like my grandfather and my uncles. Now, it goes on to say who prefers. OK, I read that part. Who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I cannot agree with your methods of direct action. Who paternalistically believes he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by a mythical concept of time, or who constantly advises the Negro to wait for a more convenient season. See, again, sound like Barack Obama. Barack Obama, the worst thing to ever happen to the consciousness of black people today, using the power of idolatry. Because that's what he told Ferguson protesters in the face of that military police violence. That's what he told them. Everything don't happen overnight. But what he tell these little white kids after the Parkland shooting? Oh, these kids out here to make change now. See, this is why it's important to understand or to read history, okay? And view the things that's going on now in the context of your rear view mirror. It'll help you be able to predict the future and not fall for idolatry or these figureheads, as David calls them, like a Barack Obama, like a John Lewis, like a Al Sharpton, like anybody else. All right. Like a Hillary Clinton, since we're talking about white moderates, like a Bill Clinton. All right, so it goes on to say, shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. So I'll leave that article there for you. It's a good article, but where I don't like the article is where he tries to connect Dr. King to this anti-gun rights movement. And Dr. King was not anti-gun. And as I shared, his very last march was the March Against Fear, where he worked with the Deacons for Defense to provide armed security. Because James Meredith, who he didn't want no big march, and he was like, I'm going to be a one-man army. And I don't like the fact that I have taxation without representation, meaning you taxing me, but you won't allow me to vote and elect my local officials, my state officials, or even my national officials. See, y'all falsely believe that that's what the Revolutionary War was about. It was not. That's what they tell you it was about. It was hijacked by slavers who was accumulating this tremendous wealth by stealing the energy of their victims. And they told you it was about taxation without representation. No, it was about police brutality by the British soldiers. It was a grassroots rebellion against brutality of the British soldier. They went to Crispus Attucks, confronted these soldiers who had just violently abused a little young colonist back in Massachusetts. In Boston, they went to confront the British soldiers. The British soldiers fired upon Crispus Attucks and the other colonists that he was leading when they went to confront him. That was known as the Boston Massacre, and that's what got the colonists so pissed off that they was ready to start a revolution. You know, the same things that is happening every 28 hours to black people in this country. If we want to include people of all classes of color and racial classification, hell, it's probably one every 20 minutes. Don't quote me on that, but it's got to be three a day, I think, is what violence, what is the name of that website? I can't remember the name of the website that did an analysis, but at least about three Americans, and some of them may not be Americans, they may be immigrants, are shot a day by police. So for those that want to condemn people that are demonstrating against the government, are you condemning the American revolutionaries? Because that's, you know, they were demonstrating against that brutality. Now, James Meredith was marching because of taxation without representation. You're going to take my tax dollars, say I owe you this, and I got to support the system. And if I don't, then you're going to put me in prison, and then you're going to deny me the right to vote. I'm not going for it. So he did a little one-man army march. A terrorist was hiding in the bushes and shot him. So then Dr. King came along with SNCC, CORE, and some other organizations. Stokely Carmichael was among some of the young college activists at the time. And they was like, you know what? We'll finish this march, but we ain't marching out here unarmed. And we're not going to set ourselves up to be assassinated and murdered like James Meredith. James Meredith did survive, though. So They got with the Louisiana base, Deacons for Defense, and they ran point. Deacons for Defense were Vietnam veterans and Korean War veterans, and they will shoot back. You know, read that book, We Will Shoot Back. Deacons for Defense ran point, to use a military term, Deacons for Defense ran point for the March Against Fear with their weapons, and was clearing the brushes of any potential terrorists that were lurking in the bushes. Okay, so how, you know, this whole notion that Dr. King was so against the gun or was so against armed self-defense is a bunch of propaganda nonsense, and you shouldn't believe it. This is why it's important to do your own diligence and own research and get several different sources. This is the hidden history they don't want you to know. They're using his name and his likeness for an agenda that was not his own. The last thing I want to share with you, again, this is the 50th, on this day, because I hate using the term anniversary. Anniversary should have a positive connotation to it, like your wedding anniversary or whatnot. But on this day in history, Dr. King was assassinated 50 years ago. All right, so this is the last thing I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to get with, turn it over to Brother Davis, and he's talking about today's topic is opening up for greatness. And we are certainly right now discussing a very great man who did not let fear immobilize him from taking action. Because I was thinking about this today. How do you expect change without action? It's not possible. It takes action. Like for let's say I want to change a light bulb. I can't sit here in this chair and look up at the light bulb and think it's going to change itself, can I? I have to take action. I had to get up out my chair. I had to go to the cupboard where we keep our light bulbs. I had to get a new light bulb. I had to take out the old light bulb and screw the new light. That's action. Change does not come without action. Okay? Now, last thing I want to share this article, another distortion of Dr. King's legacy. You know, because people, again, people, and it's not just white people, but it's black people too. It's all people. They will use Dr. King to fit their agenda. Now, this article was published on Blacktivity today. And I have found, man, I tell you, man, again, these sites are locking up on me, y'all. Let me go ahead and stop it. Maybe it won't load up any more ads and stuff. All right, so this article comes to you, was written by Makisha Noel about 6 hours ago. She said how the core message of Dr. Luther King's final speech was about having more than a dream. Now, I took issue with this article, too, because they try to portray Dr. King like he's some kind of prosperity preacher, or that he was out there talking about the path to freedom is through black business ownership. This is bull crap, man. Again, this is ignoring the realities on the ground. It is ignoring the systemic racism, not the individual racism of people, but the systemic racism of a system that didn't allow for black people to even get loans to start businesses. And like I was talking to my mom about it today, you know, I live in a county that after the Civil War, Gaston County, North Carolina, was one of the few places in the United States where former victims of slavery could even own property. Because we had one, his name was Ransom Hunter. He came here. Now, my family is not the descendants of victims of slavery. We're the descendants of Scottish and Cherokee Indians who had a union, and then their children married all African descendant people. So we were never, you know, my family on this land was never tied to the slave trade or slavery. Okay. But we were victims of white terrorism or attempted white terrorism. And I say attempted white terrorism because my grandfather and my uncles was able to repel the terrorists with their guns when they tried to burn down the house. Because my youngest aunt was forced to go to the white high school. So anyway, they are ignoring a whole lot of stuff. I'm not going to read this because I don't want to take up any more time. I'm going to go straight to break and then to Brother Davis. But she talks about Dr. King. I'll share this part. Dr. King had more than a dream. He had a plan. Bold as a lion, he was strategic and understood the power of wealth. As history recycles itself, he spoke of the significant principles that withstand the test of time. That is, withdrawing economic power from industries and complete disregard to your existence and banding together to strengthen black institutions. He not only dreamed of integration, he dreamed a black economic engine that drove communities of color to the top. His words, cathartic to this day, provide a sense of hope and greater determination. Look, Dr. King was not Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey focused on building black business. Dr. King was seeking reparations. That's what he was talking about when he was telling you how this U.S. government was giving all this welfare to these white people, giving them free land, giving them interest-free loans to buy farming equipment, teaching them how to farm for free, you know, starting these agricultural colleges that they didn't have to pay for the education. But today, we got even black people that's against free education for our children, all right? So Dr. King knew that, and he was like, next time we come to Washington, we coming to get our check. He wanted reparations for black people. All right, because he knew we was way, 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 way behind the eight ball in the obstacles that was in our way. And yes, money plays a role. You need money to live. You need money to build. Nothing is for free. And that's why he also fought against wage discrimination. I asked my mom today because, you know, we hear these people that say, oh, before integration, black community had everything it needed. That's a damn lie. You had one, two, three, maybe four different communities, which was never more than a couple of hundred people that was self-sustaining, like so-called Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or here in North Carolina, Durham, North Carolina. But what happened to them? They got burnt down to the ground. Got burnt down to the ground, okay? That was not the reality for most black people. You had the Great Migration because black people was fearing sharecropping, running away from that, not fearing it, but running away from it because it's just another form of slavery, and they were migrating up north to work in the factories. If we had everything we needed, then how come these people, millions of them, had to go up north for jobs if we had all these jobs in the south, all these black industries? Now, I'm all for black business building. I'm all for that. We got BIB Radio, Blacks in Business Radio. I'm not saying, but let's stop acting like everybody has the acumen to be a businessman. Okay? Everybody ain't cut from the same cloth. Everybody don't have the same intellectual capacity. I do believe that every person is blessed with certain skills or whatnot, But now it's like me. I don't know everything. I know some things, but I don't know everything. There are some things I can't do, and I need to hire it out to somebody else. Okay, so let's just stop acting like, you know, let's stop engaging in revisionist history and not paying attention to the unholy hell that black people were facing during that time. Not to say we're not facing unholy hell today, but our lives are much better today than it was for our grandparents and even our great grandparents. But like I was saying, asked my mom about this today. Again, I asked her about the gun message. Well, Dr. King anti-gun, never heard him say a word. I can't find anything where he's talking against gun ownership. And I asked her, I said, Mom, I said, now, it wasn't that many black people around here. You know, it was just y'all family. And then when Ransom Hunter, former victim of slavery, moved here after the Civil War and was able to buy, you know, up some property. And then he brought other victims of slavery here to start the farming community of freedom, which still stands. They're not farmers no more, but that community still stands in Mount Holly. I said, Mom, where did y'all go grocery shopping at? Did y'all hunt for everything? I know y'all raised pigs and chickens and you know, might have had a dairy cow or two. And I know, you know, y'all was planting food, but I was like, but where? What about the other stuff that y'all needed? You know, like it's a piece of equipment breakdown. Where did you go for parts and stuff? She was like, we went to the businesses in Mount Holly. And I said, well, wait a minute. Was they segregated in Mount Holly? She was like, no. She said only the schools were segregated. You had the black school, which was Reed High. And then you had, now I don't know what the name of the school, the white high school was at that time, but now it's known as East Gaston High. It might have been Mount Holly High School. Yeah, it was Mount Holly High. That was the white school. Reed High was the black school. That was the only segregation going on here. She said, now when we went into these businesses to get the things we absolutely needed and couldn't get from anywhere else, we knew those. She didn't say cracker. I was about to say cracker. She said, we knew these people was racist. We just went in there, got what we needed because we couldn't go nowhere else to get it. And we got out. And she said they liked the money. So, no, they did not practice segregation. So, again, we had to quit believing that everybody's experience is the same in all over the country. It was not. It was not. And I was surprised to hear that. And they really didn't have no problem out of these white people until forced integration. And the Klan, you know, burnt the cross in the middle of the night in my grandfather's yard. Somebody woke up, saw him creeping up towards the house, woke everybody else up, and they came out firing with their weapons and drove the cowards off, sent them running for their lives. So I was surprised to learn that. So, again, I am pro-black business. But at the same time, I also know that everybody don't have the resources to start a black business and everybody ain't smart enough to run a business. That's just a fact. Some of us, and it's nothing wrong with being manual labor. There's no shame in that. No shame. Why we want to act like it's shame in somebody working for somebody else? Because if you start a black business, hopefully you're going to hire somebody else, right? You want to hire some black people, right? Should they be ashamed to work for you? So that's all I wanted to share. All of this distortion of Dr. King's legacy for people's separate agendas. They didn't have nothing to do with his agenda. All right, with that said, I went a little bit over. I was just feeling really passionate today about sharing this information about Dr. King because it just, you know, as a student of history, somebody who reads a lot of history, I just hate seeing our great ancestors and grandcestors' legacies being misused and abused, even by people who look like us. So we're going to take a short station identification break, and when we come back, Brother Davis will be on air for the next hour. You can give him a call at 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Hit star to unmute yourself. I'll see you on on the board because I got to prepare for the next two programs that's coming up. And so Brother Davis will be discussing opening up for greatness. All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And welcome back to Tando Radio Show on this Wise Wednesday. Brother Davis, do we have you in queue, sir?
Absolutely, Brother Scotty. How are you?
I'm doing the best I can under these terroristic conditions. I don't like to complain too much because I know it's somebody doing worse than me.
Well, you know, there's always room to put the truth out there. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Davis coming on a Wise Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you something. I've been deep in some study, and I believe that we failed to, being brought up in the Western system, we have failed to understand the importance of the simplicity of our power, which lies at our doorstep. Now, and the reason why I say that is because we fail to realize that we operate in a methodology of it every day, but we haven't been able to link it. Take something that is uniquely important as breathing. A lot of people just think it's a habit. It's something that comes natural. And it appears to be that way when you speak to people who literally have no knowledge of it. But breathing serves a higher order for the operation of your body. You see, the rhythm of breathing taps into the electromagnetic rhythm of your body, your harmonious rhythm of your body, and your body's natural vibration. But we only hear those phases, but we haven't linked those things together. Have you ever made a sound and then all of a sudden you just turn the volume up? That's what we're about to do. We're about to look at our lives and we're going to turn the volume up. Because it's a wonderful thing to enjoy those, what we call ordinary or naturals. You know, when you wake up and you open your eyes and all of a sudden they got to adjust. And then when I say adjust, your ears adjust. You know how your body's feeling, with some parts of it might be a little stiff, or some you just wake up feeling good. These are all attached to the principle of thyself. Why is that? Do I say the principle of thyself? Because see, we don't think according to the level that we have inherited. Let me repeat that. We don't think according to the level that we have inherited. You see, our ancestors studied every aspect of life, from how we breathe, to how we move, to our thoughts. And what does our thoughts do? Our emotions, all of these things play a role in achieving our greatness. But we have been taught by Westernism to be reckless with them. And what does reckless mean? That means that we have been taught to allow them to interpret what it is we feel. Now, you see it. You see it all the time. You see it today on TV. How many people got on there and thought they were more of an authority on Dr. King than the people that look like Dr. King? So they're constantly giving you the deception. And this is just not in one area. If you look at the American economy, it's deception. The dollar isn't even constructed by the government no more. So it's the deception. There are taxes that you pay, there's no laws for. There's the deception. These holidays that we celebrate, you really don't know anything about them. Because if you did, many of them, you would not celebrate at all. It's the deception. And the reason why there has to be so much deception is so that you won't learn the truth about you. If you learn the truth about you and you did a little extra due diligence, you could literally expand beyond the circumference of the title human being. But if you don't, you can't. It's that simple, and they know that. That's why at a very early age, you start indoctrinating our children with things like reading, writing, and arithmetic. And actually now, it's a common thing. But when our ancestors came over here, they knew the power behind us understanding reading, writing, and arithmetic. These are all forms of communication. And when you learn to communicate in a specific form, you can literally get better at it. Brother Scotty said earlier that not everybody is a businessman, but everybody can learn to be whatever they want to be. And the principle behind that is whatever you do in repetition, you learn. It's that simple. Understand that, because literally this is the first key. Whatever you do in repetition, you get more proficient at. So let's look at something as basic as breathing. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, well, I do it every day, and it's a part of what the body requires in order to live, and that's true. But how many ways of breathing do you know? You see, there are many ways of breathing, and all of them are designed to do something to the body to perpetuate a process. There's certain breathing. If you have asthma, you can breathe a certain way, and literally your asthma will subside. Why? Because you're supplying the asthma what it needs so that it is not agitated in the realm of negativity. Now, you're going to hear me use this term realm of negativity. And the reason why I use it, because whatever you do that isn't positive adds to the realm of negativity. And the sad part about it is that you probably were brought up in a church that taught you that the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. But that's wrong. Some of you, if you offended, I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for it, but I'm sorry. And the reason why I say that is because negativity and positivity brings balance to the universe. This is why we're in the state that we're in now. If you just look at TV for one day, you're going to see at least 30 killings. So this is a desensitization process. Now, we people of color have always had a great respect for life, especially our ancestry. In our ancestry, there were people who lived to be 300-400 years old in the times of our beginnings. And you see, the sad part about that is that we haven't identified that the only thing that has changed between then and now is our attitudes and what we consume and the air we breathe. Because, see, back then, there was no contamination into the air, and the balance of pure air was immeasurable because everything served a purpose. So just like the trees would absorb the carbon monoxide in the air and transform it through the leaves to be oxygen and release it back into the air, this process still exists. And for those of you who don't believe it, if you ever drive down a highway, a major highway, look at all of the trees on the edge of the road that are dying. And they're dying because of all of that carbon monoxide that is being condensed and sprayed on them every day, and they only have the natural process to lean on. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that one plant has the power of one plant, but if it's a healthy plant, it can project its power. But if it's an unhealthy plant, it's moved from the area of positive into the area of negative. And once you go into that area of negative, you will eventually die. This is why it's so important for us to examine ourselves. You heard the term, you heard me say it, know thyself. Because literally, we're doing things that are negative. Even if we do it for positive intention, it's still negative. The universe does not distinguish a gray area. It's an improbability. Why? Because it's based on laws. That's why laws bring order. When you walk through a meadow and it's a beautiful sunny day, and all of the greenery and the flowers and their colors, they're all brilliantly displayed, that's because they're reaching for their power in the sun. When we as people take a stroll in the afternoon and we feel the warmth of the sun on our body and we look up, and even if it's with eyes closed, we are rejoicing in the absorbing of power. And these are simplistic things that we do all of the time, but because of the way we were taught to think, we did not understand that that was part of the process of our transformation. See, we really are not what you see. Because, see, what you see, you're told, is a human being. Okay? So now, why haven't you asked yourself, why are there so many different hues of human being? And that's because over time, that interactions of the human race has produced other byproducts of the original human being. Because I'm quite sure you heard that some people are not even considered human being or human-like. All of these terms are true. But because we haven't been able to open the door to the simplicity of what our nature is, we haven't been able to tap in to the greatness that we can evolve to. So I was speaking to you about breathing. Do you know,
Brother Davis?
That we, yes, brother.
Yes. Again, want to let the callers know, just hit **, the telephone number 704-802-5056. If you have a question or comment for Brother Davis on today's topic, hit **. We'll see you on the board. I'll let him know. But before you move on to the breathing aspect, I had a question for you when I found out that you were going to be speaking on unlocking the power of greatness that's within us. So me and Jenna was having a conversation, a little short conversation or exchange of information. But I feel like that there is a segment of black people who are declaring themselves, they're confessing with their mouths. And I'm sure, Brother Davis, you know about the power of confession and you know, speaking words and what have you. Words do have power. But declaring yourself to be powerless in this system. What are your thoughts on confessions of powerlessness?
Well, first of all, you have to understand, we're called humans because they want us to see ourselves as frail. And our inability to be able to take control. And the reason why is because they know that when we become self-condemning, we will speak just as you said. Oh, we can't do nothing. Oh, that don't work for us. I don't like who I am. All of these are self-condemning phrases. So if you give away your power, and that's what you're doing, you're moving into a negative state. And you'll stay in that negative state until transformation comes, whether you administer it or not. And the reason being is because you put yourself there. When you submit yourself to being lesser, then what you're doing is you're actually giving yourself to the negativity, the negative side. So you become actually a shadow because you've given away your power. You have no force. The sad part about it is there are many people who are like that. And I have said many days on this show, Not everybody's going to survive this. People surrender. And they surrender because of the Westernism. Westernism teaches us as a people to surrender. Look at what it's done in the community. There's no other community in the world. You go in, all you see is cigarette advertisements and liquor advertisements and a church on every corner. These are the very diseases of what they call negative energy. Why does the negativity have an energy? Because it wants to perpetuate its negative plan. And the sad part about it is that we haven't realized that when we start operating in the trueness of our purpose, we are a positive people. So in what we do every day, even our thoughts add to the universal imbalance to restore it to its proper place. You see these people out here talking about they're very verbal and they cuss a lot, and that's, they're not giving anything positive to the universe. You remember the day when you used to go into the farmer's market and you could smell the fruit? What is the fruit was communicating to you. Over here, I'm in season. To eat me now or to consume me now would be to receive the maximum effect of my purpose. So you pick it up and you take something like a tomato and you feel the firmness of it and you look at the color. And if you gently squeeze it and put your nose, you can smell. This is communication. And the sad part about it, we're not taught these things. So when I was a young boy, what I would do was I'd quickly rinse that tomato off, and sometimes, it depends on where I got the tomato from, and I bit in, and I let my body and the tomato communicate. Because as those juices start flowing in your mouth, your jawbones, your taste buds, and all of these things, you all felt it. Those juices running through your mouth, and your mouth makes the adjustment. And before you know it, your body is consuming this stuff before it even gets to your digestive system. It's communicating to us about the order of things. And the order of things is, if you eat me at my peak and I give you the maximum nutrition that I was produced to give you, then literally you can transform that nutrition into the energy that you need. But see, we're not taught that. So therefore, when we eat, oh, it just tastes good. It's more than that. It is so much more than that. Because the lycopenes and all the different the values are the supplements that may be in it. You see what I'm saying? The acids, the sugar, all of these things serve a purpose in the system and the way it operates in its natural form. But because we're taught that, oh, it's only vegetables, it's only fruit, we have begun to believe that. But do you know, in ancient times, they would grow things, and at the peak time of the season, they made sure everybody in the village knew. Why? Because they all wanted them to enjoy what they were enjoying. They all wanted them to have a chance to be able all of the bounty on their table, and their family experienced what they were experiencing. And see, the best part about that is when all of these things are beginning to operate in your body, and they're communicating, and the enzymes comes in, and the enzymes breaks it down and starts taking it to different parts of your body. What you don't know is that what you're thinking at that particular time is where you're going to get the best or the greatest benefit from what you consume. Because now you are starting to send energy to that which you ate, and that energy is decimating it through your body. So, say you have gout. I'm just threw that out there because gout is a pain. It's a disease. It's from rich foods. Well, do you realize there wasn't no gout around before sugar came into play. Think about that for a while. Because every time something goes through a process, it's taken away from its natural order. There wasn't no gout before sugar. Why? Because sugar is one of the main ingredients in rum. Rum is a common drink that was used then, or it was commonly used for shine. When they mix that sugar with that corn, see, these are the things that people can identify with when you use them in them terms. But back then, black people were, it was a benefit to have sugar. Think about that. It was a benefit to have sugar in their coffee. They were used, it was easier for black people to get honey because it was right out there with the bees. And the bees have a greater communication level because there is a more a repertory point of order. That's how things like beehives and ant farms, they function so well. Because there's already a simplicity that they share. Now, since we're talking about bees, and we have bees on our farm, I'm going to tell you something. There is such a power in seeing what these bees do over a period of time by going out and literally, and y'all listen to what I'm saying. Bees take the pollen off other plants, mostly flowers, and as they travel to other plants, they drop that pollen that may have stuck to their body or their wings or whatever. And as they move on to the next plant, that pollen falls to the ground. And sometimes it doesn't even fall to the ground. It just stays on that particular plant. But do you realize that the work they do is so vital to our food chain that if bees disappeared in 10 years, understand, in just 10 years, the effects would be irreversible. But now, flip the coin. If humans disappeared in 10 years, all the vegetation would have been restored. In 20 years, all of the natural soils, the minerals in the soils would be restored. Why? Because they're not constantly being depleted every year, every year, every year. See, we as human beings bring a greater danger to this marvel called Earth than Earth has ever been put under in any other time in history. So we have to understand the importance to get to our greatness. We got to get back to the simplicity of that which serves us and serves our purpose. Now, just sidebar, when the bees, when we harvested the honey, we got about 80 to 100 pounds of honey. It was our first year. I mean, we were elated, all right? But to taste the honey, it was a total different experience. Why? Because now you knew the path this honey traveled. That's how we have to be with food. We have to know the path the food travels once we smell it. Because that's the first line of communication, smell. Second line of communication is feel. See, because when these things happen, you're communicating with that vegetable or that fruit. You're communicating, is it in season? You're communicating, is it a good time? Is it sweet? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you ever smelled a good cantaloupe, you could tell if it's sweet by the smell. And the reason why I'm pointing all of these things out to you is because I wanted to take you a little further down the road of information, but Scotty had your content tonight. Literally, it is the anniversary of Martin Luther King's death. Sad part about it is that he is only one of many, many great black people. Some of them, your names you don't even hear as much. But we're on his team. Fannie Lou Hamer was on his team. Dr. Sullivan was on his team. These people, they weren't up front, but they were a part of that time. Sadly enough, they only show you the Dr. Martin Luther King they want you to follow. There's a lot of speeches that he did that they don't even want you to know about. They don't want you to know about his famous statement. It's, I feared that I brought my people into a burning house. See, they don't want you to know those sort of things. But that information's out there. I was a sidebar. Kind of get carried away sometimes because I do understand the effects of it on us at this particular time. We have to also understand this. That the things that we do in reference to how we maintain our body is the first essence of us being able to turn the key when we reach the doors. The doors of knowledge require us to get to them and then turn the key. We got to learn how to turn the key. Because let's face it, you can be at a locked door, and if you can't get in, frustration and such, then you move on. But if you learn these things, you learn the importance of just laying on the floor and stretching. I know a lot of you are probably saying, what? Yeah, but this plays an important role. When you stretch, you are literally stretching all of the canals and meridians in your bodies. Now, what are canals and meridians? Canals and meridians are those central nutrimental supply chains that bring the nutrients to that specific area. Now, let's take, for instance, the vital points like your heart, your lungs, your spleen, your thyroids. All of these here are vital organs. They serve a purpose. But around them, at any given time, if you feel uncomfortable or you reach a point of fulfillment, meaning that you sit down and you ate a good meal and you're satisfied and you're just relaxing, that's a point of fulfillment, okay? That's what's called a time of pleasure. And the reason why it's called a time of pleasure, because you're ready to relax now and look at your day and see the benefits of how you spent your time. And see, that's another thing. When you look at the benefits of how you spend your time, then you begin to evaluate that. Everything about knowing thyself stems from thyself. It's just that the system constantly wants you to stay out of it. That's why they put a TV in front of you. They could do so many things that you don't even know that they're doing. But by the time you get up, you have to take a few minutes to just collect yourself because you've been in this here amusement park so long, and that's what a TV is. It's an amusement park. But the sad part about this amusement park now is that it has a lot of things that it didn't have before. That flick, it's called the flicker speed. That's the amount of images to go past in a second. And in the United States, for those of you who don't know, television in the United States has more images that go past per second than in any other country. Because literally there's science behind it in order to lure you into different states. And they know that. They just don't tell you that. That's why me and my wife, we cut back on our TV so much that a lot of times when the grandchildren come over, they'll say, do you have a TV? Well, yeah, it's right there. Why don't you turn it on? Well, we don't watch a lot of TV. And if you watch TV, I'd like you to watch. So I got some DVDs here that are good. I always get some good stuff. Always get some good stuff. The reason being is because I want them to attention. So I got an excellent TV DVD on black women in history. And they're young girls, so they want to see that sort of thing. And that's what we have to do. You see, because what the simplicity is, we have to start at the earliest stages so that they can be far, far ahead of where we are at the stage that we are now. Because when we sit down and we have a meal and they look over and they say, you know, I don't see no meat that happens on my table a lot of times. And I tell them, you know, the meat is not a positive food for you. Now, the system teaches you that you should have a certain amount of meat every day. But literally, they're marketing meat to you. Will I say we will never have meat? No, because you may come to my table and I'm trying to, my family that does eat meat, it'd be there if you want to indulge. But anytime you have too much of anything, it's going to have an effect on the body. Remember about the positive and the negative. The reason why a lot of black people have high blood pressure and diabetes and heart disease and everything, that's because of their food choices. And when you get to choosing food, you're choosing food because of the diagram of programming. when you start choosing food because of nutrition, you change your whole dynamic about how you perceive food. I mean, think about that. You change your whole dynamic about how you perceive food. But if you turn on that TV, they're going to show you everything that they want you to go out and spend your money for, and they're not telling you that we know that overindulgence in this causes another problem in your physical realm. And when I say in your physical realm, only what is your realm? The realm is what you can control, and that is your body. So don't take for granted what I'm saying is don't eat meat. What I'm saying is I don't eat meat, and I receive the benefits of that. If you choose to have yourself meat or whatever, then you receive whatever benefits that produces. But if you ever ask your doctor, when you go to the doctors, and some of you will and do, ask them, if I eat meat every day like it's advertised, is that good for me? And he's going to get very quiet, because he knows the way he answers that question is going to affect how his business is going to grow. You see, they make money off of it. Absolutely. The system is designed to work for those people who are out here trying to prey on you. And the sad part about it is big business. You hear pharmaceuticals, you hear medical business. I mean, the medical pharmaceuticals and medical and insurance, these are all sleeping together. Food, these industries are sleeping together. They already have a plan for you before you even sit down and eat. And oh, please, people go out and buy this processed food. I'm not saying it's not food, good food. I'm saying that too much of it is a death wish. And the sad part about it now is they're trying to push it on you through these new programs. They know exactly what they're doing. So you must become armed so you know exactly what you're doing. So when you go out to go grocery shopping, instead of going to the local Giant or Publix or whatever, go to the farmer's market. You know why? Because if you see a cut of meat in the farmer's market, chances are that farmer can tell you about that meat. You go to a Costco or a Walmart, they can't tell you about that meat. So if you see 12 pork chops, 20 pork chops laying side by side, don't think for 1 minute they all came from the same pig. No. You might have 12 different pigs. But they're not going to tell you that. You know why? Because they sure want you to eat that pork chop. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been through it all. I've eaten and I've done all of that in my early years. As I began to elevate myself and to grow into where I want to go, I knew that there were certain things that I had to do in order to get there. So I started changing my life. And guess what? It took a truth moment. It always starts with a truth moment. It took a truth moment for me to wake up and realize that these things are the epitome of my downfall. So if I take and make a stand, I can change all that. Well, I put that in my Facebook the other day. And people were writing me back, but you know what? There's some very powerful transforming stories when people reach that point in their life. And then you see them 3, 4, 5 years later, and they look like entirely different people. Why? Because they decided that they were going to be the controllers of the truth in their life. And it doesn't take a lot. It just takes the determination. And then as you go along, you're going to find a lot of other things along the way that's going to help you in your quest. One thing about us being beings of transformation, when you start on a path, things are added to you to keep you on that path, especially if the path is to improve you. But now that also works in a negative thing. If you go down a negative path, things in that negative world is going to come and keep you on that path. Now, I got a friend who's a truck driver. He just retired. He goes down to South America someplace. Now, I ran across one of his emails, and literally, I don't think he meant to send it to me. But he talks about how he goes down and he takes advantage of the local people down there, and he does all kind of sexual things. Now, I was really kind of surprised.
But what really got me is when he said it's an industry. Yes, they got tours to go down there, and the gobs of people take them. But once again, that's such an imbalance to what I'm trying to achieve. I wouldn't even give him the courtesy of knowing that I know, because it would transform our relationship in a different way. Maybe I could be a source for to help this brother down the line. But right now, he's dealing with some very dangerous things. But these are his decisions. So once again, I want you to understand the simplicity of what it is that we're trying to do. And the reason why is because then it becomes easier to do. This is not rocket science, y'all. I just talked to you about the communication between you and your food. Well, it's a higher order of communication, too, that takes place. Because literally, we're not systemic. What does that mean? That means that we don't get to a point where we can't move. We are constantly in an upward motion of life if you're trying to live. Some people, they just wake up every day and they don't do nothing. When you wake up with a plan and you work your plan, you're trying to do something for you. And as you try to do something for you, more is exposed to you. Why? Because your intuitiveness is being heightened to such a level that now you're eating right. So if you're eating right, chances are you're starting to drink right. And if you start to drink right, and you're eating, means that you're consuming more water. And if you're consuming more water, that means that water is getting into your body, and the body literally is something like 79 or 85% water. So now the system becomes back in the balance, and now once your system's back in the balance, then you're open to receive the messages that is coming through you through nature. And you've seen them all the time, but you may not have really noticed them. I know Scotty got up in the morning at 5 o'clock, walked out, had a cup of coffee in his hand. Everything was singing. The insects were singing, the birds were singing, the trees was, everything was singing. But see, unless you have elevated yourself to the point where you can literally enjoy that, you may never even notice it. We have a pond behind my house. Do you realize in this season, the frogs by now should have been croaking loud for their mating calls? They're due any time now. I think the weather kind of gets a little funny, and that's kind of throwing things off a little bit. But it's a cycle. It would restore itself. And see, that's so important. And the reason why it's so important, because our earth is under a mass level of contamination and destruction by these people who think that they're in control. They're not in control. They're out of control. Think about it. I heard on TV today, we're going to cut back on the auto emissions because people want to want to buy cars. That is nothing but greed. They want to cut back because they can make more money selling fossil fuels. We have to wake up. Do you realize that Tesla is on the verge of bankruptcy with the electric car, but not because people don't want the electric car? Because the fossil industry literally is going out their way to make sure that they can literally absorb as much of his resources as they possibly can, because this keeps people going back to cars. Do you realize if we follow the path of Germany and the Netherlands, and do you realize they don't want to have any cars, any fossil fuels on their roads beyond the next 10 years? None. Think about that. So we're talking about 2025, they don't want any fossil fuel cars on the road. So they've cut down on the demand for fossil fuels. Oh, by the way, their nuclear plants, the ones that have nuclear plants, because Switzerland has none. Well, they're converting their nuclear plants to thermium nuclear. Now, thermium literally is a natural substance that works on the same chemical decomposition program as this, I can't even think the name of the nuclear radiation source. And I know it just skips my mind. But
when this fuel literally is burnt out, this lit fuel is non-contaminated. So it doesn't have a life of radiation. You understand? Here's the catch. The reason why you don't know about it is because it doesn't have a life of radiation, it cannot be used as a weapon. So therefore, that's why they don't use it. One of the main suppliers of nuclear waste to these nuclear war machines was because of nuclear energy. Sadly enough, we have outgrown that as a people. And we got work ahead of us, because guess what? We need those type of plants. And we need people to wake up. The simple lesson that I've just given you, that's just the first step of your transformation. Because see, we have to get ourselves to a point where our thoughts can generate the energy that we need through our hands, meaning that our imaginations cannot be of this world. Now, I know it's going to take you a minute to catch that. That means that you must have the ability to transform your imagination to a level so that your body can do what your mind in the Westernism sees to be unbelievable or impossible. Why? Because they've done so much damage. Do you think it's going to clean itself up? We are going to have to do that. If humanity is going to have another level, we are going to have to elevate ourselves to get there, because guess what? Evil is in full demand right now. And they think they got control, because guess what? Everybody sits in front of that TV set and they get so caught up in it. And they don't know what's going on around them. And I keep trying to tell people all the time, you know, there's a war going on. You're positive and negative. And your positive thoughts add to the positivity, and your negative thoughts add to the negativity. And that's the same thing with all of your actions. And every decision that you make, there is a duality process. You could be just got your paycheck, running through the store, and all of a sudden, you know, your sister's been, oh, wow, I got to stop and get this, I got to buy that, oh, look at those shoes. Then the duality comes in. Well, you know, you just got your paycheck, so you got the money, but yeah, but you need to pay this here bill here. But if you pay this bill here, you ain't got to worry about it next week. But if you got them shoes right now, you could have them on your feet next week, and then come up with a solution for that bill then, when you get your next paycheck. Although that's already pre-planned, and you know that. See, this duality purpose takes place in all decisions. So it's taking place with your decision when it comes to food. It's taking place with your decision when it comes to what you drink. It's taking place in your decision on how you spend your time, who you spend your time with. We fail to realize that we are the determining factor. All this stuff that's going on around us, literally, we will outlive that as a people. You know why? Because if you've done, I don't know if you've done the numbers or not, but there are more people of color on the earth than any other. And these people of color have to be able to elevate themselves to be able to repair all the damage that's being done now. And you know what? We have that ability. There is nothing more resilient. Since the beginning of time, the man knows about greater than the earth and the sun. And we were chosen. This is a part of what we're supposed to do. So don't get me wrong. This isn't like this is one person's assignment. No. We have to prepare ourselves so that we can meet the need. The universe is calling on us right now. I heard it on TV the other day. A guy was saying that they're starting to collect the space trash. Well, you know what that told me? He's a like-minded person. I didn't know this person. But if you're starting to go out there and collect the space trash, then you realize that that's a positive effort to save our universe. So we're on the same page, although we may be doing two different things. I don't have to know you to love you, because I love the action that he's taking. That's going to be less work for me in the long run, because I don't know what my purpose will be. But I do know this, I'm in training right now. Every time I eat something, I'm thinking about how it's going to be applied and where. How can I use my energy? Do I have the ability to elevate myself? Can I move my imagination from this level and this dimension into the other five dimensions so
so that I can literally utilize my mind there with the efficiency and the simplicity that I learned right here. And I'm not exceptional. Let me make that very clear. Every one of us has this potential. But every one of us has to see the responsibility of developing ourselves so that we can tap into it. Well, that's why our Westernism always talk. When you ever talk about meditation and how they play it down, they play it down because they don't want you to meditate. They got this confusion going on because they want you to get frustrated trying. That's why I always tell people, regardless of what you go through, keep trying. Keep trying. Do 5 minutes a day. Do 10 minutes a day. When you get up to 15 minutes a day, you'll start to empower yourself. You will feel the result. I told a brother about 2 years ago, I said, you want to get rid of that blood pressure? Change your diet and start meditating. That brother called me and said, it wasn't even 4 months later, he said, Brother Davis, I have to thank you. He said, because I started to change my diet. I didn't change as quick as I want to, but I made it my point to meditate as much as I could. And do you realize the numbers started coming down to the degree that I started changing myself? I didn't realize it, but I stopped eating meat. I didn't realize it, but I stopped hanging out late. I didn't realize it, but I was starting to get an 8 hours sleep. And see, these things are going to come. But unless you do the things that's going to bring those into play, it's not going to happen. So do we have a power that goes beyond man's ability to measure? Absolutely. That's why he's scared of you. That's exactly why he's scared of you. Because guess what? You will have children. And your children, that if they get this type of knowledge at an early age, can you imagine what they'll be when they have children? Our responsibility doesn't stop in our time-space continuum, by no means. And time and space just means that we're alive right now, according to what live is in the world today. But these people are trying to change that all the time. And here's the catch. They think that death is a solution. Death is not a solution. If anything at all, death is a transformation. Literally, you take me out of here and I go to the next level of learning. And when I go to the next level of learning, what is there that it's going to move me to the next level. So if I have to just come back, and if I am just the ancestor to communicate these messages that have been communicated to me by ancestors before me, because there is no end to the cycle. Believe me, it may look bleak. We may be going through some things, but this isn't how it's going to stay. And the reason being is because this show right here, and things like we do here on Black Talk Radio, we waking people up. We're telling you, you ain't what they say that you are. Believe me. If you believe them, then you will get the same result that they literally are dishing out. And the sad part about it is a lot of people believe them. If I told you money was a tool, you're still going to ask me what you're worth. And the reason why you're going to ask me what's it worth is because literally you have been taught to value it. Just to have it is a value. Well, to be able to utilize it is greater value. Because then you can multiply your tools. But they don't want to teach you that. If they teach you that and you learn it, then you can compete with their kids. And they need their kids to be out in front of you so they can build more destructive weapons. And the sad part about it is that their kids, because of the social media and their intermingling of ideas, are changing. And they don't like that. They really don't like it. They can't be out front and blatant about it. So they're moving the destructive factor up. That's what they're doing, absolutely. They're moving the destructive factor up. You're talking about a World War III and these sort of things. That's only to scare you. Listen, don't be scared of World War III. Because even if they have a World War III, all they're going to do is make more work for us. And you're thinking that, well, what if the whole world dies? It will not. Why? Because literally, we were chosen to be here for a reason. So whatever it goes through is going to require us to do something to clean it up. So we have to tap into the tools that are going to be armament for us. What is armament? Not something that's going to be a defensive, but an offensive thing. We're not a destructive people. We don't go around talking about killing. Why? Because it's just not our nature. This is what we're taught. This is what these TVs, these movies, they're all about killing. Why? Because they want you to be desensitized to it, so that they know that when the right time comes, that they do what they want you to do is kill each other. That's why you see the Walking Dead. Kill them, kill them. They already dead. Kill them, kill them. That's why you see the opioid crisis. Kill them. They already dead. Kill them. The sad part about it is that a lot of these are our choices. We must make better choices. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be here as long as I can. And the reason why I say as long as I can is because I'm doing everything. I'm eating right. I'm exercising right. I'm dropping my weight. I'm in the sun every day. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to start growing the finest quality vegetables that we can, because we're going to consume them. And we're going to probably sell and give a lot of it away too, but we're going to be consuming them. And we're going to keep our honeys at peak efficiency. Why? Because we're going to be consuming that too. And we're going to be selling it and giving it away too, but we're going to be consuming it. And you know what's so unique? When I take some of that honey and I put it in some water and I mix it up real good and I hold it up into the sun and I pour it into the hummingbird's feeders and the hummingbirds come around, brother, the cycle is complete. But you got to see it. I mean, these hummingbirds are like children in a playground. They don't have to worry about anything because they already possess what is needed for them to enjoy themselves. And here's honey water made with local bees. I'm trying to bring humor to this, but I want you to understand the importance of the role we play. And if we are not waking up to do the right things, then we don't end up thinking wrong. And when you think wrong, you add into the negativity. When you do something wrong, you add into the negativity. So now you know what you can do. All you got to do is just control your thought process. You're going to get angry sometimes, so learn how to control your emotions. If you learn how to control your emotions, that's 90% of the battle. You know why? Because people are on an emotional roller coaster. You've been hearing me say that. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I tried to give you as much of myself as I possibly could. And the reason being is because it's going to get more entailed as we move forward. I'm going to have to tell you about the communication that we have with the sun. It goes far beyond just giving us energy through its rays. And we're literally communicating with the sun in the manner in which we're preparing our bodies to be able to move to another level. And on those other levels, our chakras come into play, all of our vital organs come into play, because these are the things that add to make us the superhumans that we are. And when we develop ourselves, that we no longer see ourselves as humans, but divine beings, then we move into an area of growth that will allow us to transform almost before your eyes. There's going to be a transformation that takes place if you follow what anything I've talked about all year. There's going to be a transformation that takes place. You're going to see it. And when you see it and you begin to realize that you are in control, that means you can do it and you can transform at any rate of speed you choose. Because pretty soon you begin to realize the time and effect has no effect. You won't affect you. I had a person say to me the other day, my birthday's coming up. I said, yeah, so is mine. They said, well, I'm going to be 43, man. I said, yeah, I'm going to be 65. They said, what? The brother looked at me and said, are you serious? And I said, yeah. He said, brother, you don't look nowhere near 65. That's the process. There's always a benefit. And I'm going to tell you, the benefits are going to overwhelm you sometimes. I'm telling you, they're going to overwhelm you. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. We're coming to the end of the show. I'm sorry I didn't give you a chance to get the call in, because literally I'm trying to give you so much in a short period of time. Next week we're going to take off from right where I stopped. I'm going to talk more about the sun and the elements and how we play a role in the environment that we are in, and how you can literally take plants and put them in a certain place and do certain things and watch these plants transform in front of your eyes because of what you do, what you may be saying, or what you may be singing. I don't know. But listen, meet me here next week, next Wednesday, 6 o'clock, here on Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio, and understand the value. And when you understand the value, go online to Black Talk Radio and hit the button that says donate, because
because guess what? That's what's going to keep us coming back. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday, and I'm out. Thank you very much for allowing me into your home.
All right. Thank you, Brother Davis. And Tando Radio Show will be back on air tomorrow, which is Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure if I'll be hosting or if Ross and Jenna will be hosting. I got to coordinate with those guys, see what days they can host. Dave will be back next Monday. But coming right up is New Abolitionist Radio, and we got a special guest, Mr. Fisher, coming on, who is a reporter who came up with this podcast called Blood. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just messing it all up. I'm all discombobulated here, but we'll be talking about a wrongful conviction and his podcast, Empire on Blood. So keep it locked right here. New Abolitionist Radio coming right up on the Black Talk Radio Network. Peace.
Financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.